It's the birthday of the church worldwide. It's not St. Barnabas' birthday. It's the birthday of the church as we know it. The church which spread on the day of Pentecost to all the nations. Now, the purists will say there was a church before that, because in the Old Testament there was Abraham and the people of God, and they were the people of God. But something dramatic happened on the day of Pentecost. The Gentiles were included, and God's Spirit was given. And that's the church as we know it today. And the church exists throughout the world, and it's existed for nearly 2,000 years. If you do your arithmetic, or listen to what other people's arithmetic is, it's 2013, and it was probably about 33 or 30 AD when this event happened, so that makes the church about 1,980 years old. That's what we're celebrating today. Throughout the world today, the church is meeting in very many different ways. There's some people today who are meeting on the Sunday, and they're meeting behind closed doors or being very careful because they might be persecuted. There's some people who worship in a totally different way to us all over the world. There's a massive world there, and there are people worshiping and praising God today. So it's a celebration of the birthday of this huge, I don't want to say organization, but it's much more than that. But the huge thing we know is the church was born this day. And I think there's some pictures of candles up, or there were some, on birthday cakes. And at the 10 o'clock service, I'm going to have some actual cakes here for the kids. I think there's cake for you afterwards to celebrate. But I'm going to have the children in front, and I'm going to ask them to blow out the candles. And then I'm going to tell them that's a little bit of wind. On the day of Pentecost, there was a much bigger wind, like you also see perhaps now on the screen behind me. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a wind came down from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. And then in John's Gospel, these words, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So on the day of Pentecost, there was the sound of the wind, and Jesus had spoken about God's Spirit as the wind blowing and working in our hearts. You don't quite know how what's happening. Here, there, people being touched by God's Spirit in their hearts. The wind of Pentecost. And the first point I want to make today is that that wind comes to change us. Now, let me try and illustrate what this means. It's all illustrations are imperfect. But if you were to see a wonderful violin player, a violinist, and they would just come and stand here and play the violin and then pass the violin across to me and get me to play it, it wouldn't work, because I don't know how to play a violin. They might try and teach me for years and years and years, but if that was a world-famous violinist, I would never, ever be able to play the violin like that person. But supposing some kind of a miracle could happen, and the violin player could stand here, pass the violin to me, and the spirit of that violinist could come into me. So it's no longer me playing the violin, it's the spirit of that person in me. Then suddenly, it would sound great. Now, that's something like what happens with God the Holy Spirit. His Spirit comes and enables us to do what we cannot possibly do without the Holy Spirit in us. He comes and He lives in us by a miracle. God comes inside of us and enables us to do what we can never do by ourselves. And God changes us when He does that. I think we often don't see the change in us, but as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we're born of the Spirit, and God's Spirit begins to work in us, changes do take place. I remember a man standing up and saying, the day he accepted Christ, the very next day, his foul language was gone, just like that. All those words which he was ashamed of, they just went straight away. Other people who are shy suddenly find when the Spirit comes upon them, they're not shy anymore. People with bad tempers start finding that as God's Spirit moves, the temper goes. People who couldn't care about others and trample on other people suddenly start caring for other people. And so on. God's Spirit brings change. So that's the first thing that I want to say today, that God's Spirit blows in us, working in us, and bringing change. And I'd like us, when we pray at the end of the talk today, to ask, God, what do you want to change in me? How can your Holy Spirit, your wind, blow in me today? What would I like to change? And what do I know I cannot change without your wind blowing in me? And then we read that they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to reach each one of them. The second thing about the day of Pentecost and the gift of God's Spirit is that the fire purifies. If you've got gold, if you've got gold, the value is going down, but apart from that, if you've got gold, it had to be purified at some stage. It came out of the earth not like it is on your ring or on your gold watch or wherever you've got the gold. You have to purify it with fire. And people knew that a long time ago. What God's Spirit does is purify us. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some times when I really want to be pure. I just say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of these things that are wrong in me. Won't you come and purify me like a fire? Won't you come burn in me, burn away what is wrong? There's other times when I couldn't care. I'm ashamed of it. I'll forget about God and do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter. Now, that's the kind of battle that Paul spoke about in Romans. He said, the very thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Sometimes we desperately want to come right and we don't come right. And this battle goes on. And then Paul says, the victory is in Jesus. So when we're at our best, and we want to please God and we want to be pure, it's God's Holy Spirit that does that. He comes in and he purifies us. We cannot do it ourselves. There's all sorts of religious practices in different religious groups, Christians included, where people try to purify themselves. They go through certain disciplines, but those in themselves will never purify us. We cannot pull ourselves up by our own shoelaces when it comes to anything in the Christian life. God's Holy Spirit comes, first of all, to change us, secondly, to purify us. Now, if you come to the second service, you'll see a whole lot of people standing in front, and they're going to speak about four or five different languages. And if you want to stay on, if you've got a new language, you're welcome to stay on and join the group. They're going to be speaking different languages. And you can imagine the noise. It's for the kids. The children are in at the 10 o'clock service today, so you can have the teaching without the noise at the early service. And we're going to make a noise like the noise of Pentecost. When on that day, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And everyone heard them speak in their own native language. That's what happened. It was either a miracle of hearing or a miracle of speaking. But they were there, and they were utterly amazed because different people were given different languages. Not their native language of the people who were speaking, but different languages, so that all the people who were there in Pentecost, in Jerusalem that day, could hear God speaking in their own language. Now, a few weeks ago, I spoke about the Jewish people who traveled from their farms to Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival. But people came, as you heard from all over the Roman world, all over the known world, people came to Jerusalem. Or perhaps not all over the known world, but over a massive part of the world then. And it's a kind of reversal of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the story of Babel, however you understand those first parts of Genesis? Some people think they are a story to illustrate truth. Some people think it actually happened. But people were getting proud, and they built a tower. I built a massive tower. They were going to build the biggest tower. And God looked down, and he saw people were proud. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to confuse their languages. And they all spoke different languages, and they couldn't understand each other, so they couldn't work together. The reverse happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, from all the different languages, they can understand the truth and the miracle and be told about Jesus in their own language. The reversal of the Tower of Babel. And the third point I want to make, which flows from... So I think Kerry's got some points up there which I've forgotten. I think he's got the three points now. Tongues, wind, and fire, the three symbols. But I want to move on, and this is my main point today, is that God's Spirit causes the church to grow. That's the beginning of growth, when everyone heard in their own language, when Babel was reversed and the message went out, and the people who have different languages now form one church. The languages come together and the church is universal, and it incorporates people from many different cultures. If you start in Acts chapter 1, there's 120 people. You have the events of the day of Pentecost, there are 3,000 people. And then at the end of Acts chapter 2, the Lord added daily to his number, to the number of the church, daily, those who are being saved. And I forgot to look at Google to find out how many people become Christians every day, but it's a huge number. Tomorrow there's going to be a lot more Christians in the world than there are today. We don't see it much in our kind of society, but in some parts of the world, people, you see the whole time people being added to the church. Now, growth can be numerical, more people, and it can be in quality, the kind of commitment to Jesus that we have. So that's one kind of growth, is to be better disciples. The other kind of growth is to be more disciples. And growth can be in a number of ways. It can be by transfer. Some churches are the flavor of the month in Cape Town, and that's great. And people suddenly, usually the young people, flock to them because that's where everything is happening. I've been around long enough to see it. I can tell you which churches have been the flavor of the month or the flavor of 10 years. That's transfer growth. People come from one community to another community. And sometimes transfer growth is when we ask our friends. We say, look, we're really enjoying church. We bring our friends or our family, or to keep the same letter of the alphabet, our fiancé. Growth could also be biological. It can be by transfer, or it can be biological. You have a baby, okay? And that causes the church to grow. Now, that's a really important way for the church to grow, because right through the Old Testament, children are important. And when a child is born into a Christian family, and the father and mother take it seriously, it's a wonderful blessing. Because here a child is born into this community, grows in this community, and is taught about Jesus and taught about God from a young child. That's a wonderful way for the church to grow biologically. And then an important way is to the church grows through what's usually called evangelism. Evangelism means, in the sense I'm using it now, evangel means the gospel or the good news. It means telling the good news to people at the moment who don't know the good news. At the moment, they're outside the kingdom, and we want to tell them about Jesus so they can come into the kingdom. Michael Cassidy has been around in South Africa for a number of years now. He's in his 70s, and he's had an amazing influence on South Africa. You may not know, but he had a huge influence on South Africa. And somebody spoke to him and said, we want to reach out from our church. We want to do evangelism. So the pastor said to Michael Cassidy, or the minister, I would like to preach. Can you tell me some preaching? I'd like to preach a series on evangelism. I want to preach a series on what it is to come to Christ, how we witness to people, how we bring them to Christ. That's what I want to preach a sermon on. Do you know what Michael Cassidy's response was? He said, rather than preach on evangelism, why don't you rather teach on God's Holy Spirit? Because when God's Spirit works, then evangelism flows. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. God's Spirit was poured out and the church grew. Jesus said, didn't he? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, the next circle, in Samaria, and then to all the ends of the earth. Growing circles of being witnesses. Our Jerusalem, where we are, our next circle, and our next circle, reaching out with the good news. People turning to Christ as God's Spirit works. Now, I really pray that we'll be eager to see the church grow. Eager to see people who don't know Jesus today come to know Jesus in the next months or weeks or years. That'll be a great aim we have, and we really be motivated to bring people to Jesus. But when you say that to people, they panic. I panic. How can I bring someone to Jesus? Now, that's not what God asks you to panic about. What God asks you to do is to receive the fullness of His Holy Spirit. let God fill you, and He will use you to reach others. Some of you will find it very easy to talk at work to people who don't know Jesus. You'll find it easy to talk to your family. Others of us will struggle. But the thing is that as God's Spirit fills us and we open ourselves to the Pentecostal experience we're looking at in the Bible, the church will grow. And you'll use different gifts, ways you'll be surprised. That's easy, isn't it? Instead of getting techniques, which are important, and alpha courses, which are important, God says to us, open yourselves to me. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come and work in you, and I'll do the rest. Now, it's not quite that easy, I grant you, but that's where it starts. A willingness to say, Lord, come into me, change me, cleanse me, purify me, so that the church will grow through me. Let's pray for God's Spirit to come in us in a fresh way.